hello and welcome. Welcome back to Story River Fables. It's Tina Constant here. And, oh, do I have to say it? Yeah, the jibber jabber's at the end. We're leaping right into this week's story, which is called The Truth About Lies. Now, we have to go back a long, long time for this one. Humans were so new in the world that even the earliest of trees were still saplings. Everything was clean and shiny and tidy and organized. In a word, it was beautiful. In this new world, there was a man called Jinti, who marveled at the newness of it all. If he lived today, you'd probably call him an architect. He loved to build and shape things. He redirected rivers so they flowed the way he wanted them to. He reshaped trees so they all grew in the same direction. And just because he could, his favorite thing was to build shapes out of the sand on the seashores. His greatest frustration, however, was that rivers eventually broke through their barriers and retook their own route. Trees would grow around his direction and do their own thing, but most infuriating were the ocean tides. Every day, no matter what he did, the ocean tides would wash away the thing he had built. He begged and he demanded, he pleaded and he threatened, but no matter what he said or offered, the ocean still let her tides sweep along the beach. "This can't go on," he would say. "There has to be a way to make things exactly how I want them and keep them that way." And so his experiments began. They were lavish and simple and complicated and sophisticated all at once. His mission was to create something that could never be destroyed, something that would last forever exactly the way he made it. With that vision in mind, he worked every day and every night. He created every conceivable glue and grip and binding agent. He created ropes and knots and nuts and bolts. And when he was ready, he went to his favorite beach and built a statue the likes of which no one had ever seen before. It was 10 feet high and 5 feet wide. It was, he couldn't deny it, a statue of himself. And it was magnificent. Knowing the ocean was watching and would send her tides to try to destroy his statue, he layered it with every binding agent he had created, resin and pitch, gum and glue from every source he could find. Then he anchored his statue to the rocks and trees so even the greatest of waves couldn't take it away. When he was done, he looked out over the ocean. "Do your worst," he dared. And the ocean smiled at this odd little game, and she had a normal day. She just did what she did. The moon rose, the earth turned, and with it, the tide shifted. Jinti watched. All the way through the night, he watched as the water rose and covered his precious statue. Then as dawn came, and the tides turned, Jinti saw with indescribable joy in his heart that his statue was still there. He clapped his hands and he danced and he sang and he rolled about the sand. He made such a noise that he caught the attention of his neighbor, who was taking an early morning swim. Sorrel was a stout, happy man who reveled in everything this new world had to offer. So when he saw the statue, he was in awe. "Oh, Jinti, what a wonder!" And he swam over to take a look. "Don't touch it," Jinti shouted. But he was too late. Sorrel, curious as he was, swam up to the statue. And he tapped it here, and he tapped it there, and he tapped it once more, and a remarkable thing happened. A seam appeared from the top to the toe of Jinti's statue, and sand spilled out of it like a torn beanbag, and Jinti's magnificent statue dissolved into the sea. Jinty was furious. "What have you done?" he wailed, and he picked up rocks and pounded them into the sand. He threw ropes and glue and binding into the sea. He stamped and he screamed. And when Sorrel shook his head and asked why Jinty was so upset, Jinty stormed into the ocean, grabbed his neighbor by the top of his head, held him underwater, and kept him there until he stopped struggling and was dead. Well, in all of creation, one life had never been taken so violently by another. Never! As a result, the loss of that life reverberated around the globe. Communities gathered, neighbors held each other, and like the very axis of the earth had been tilted the wrong way, the birds grew silent, and the ocean herself paused. "What happened?" everybody said and turned to Jinty. "How did this happen?" For a moment, Jinty said nothing. Then he turned to Sorrel's still and silent body, and he said, "He had been washed out to sea. He was battling to get back to shore. I watched the whole thing. I tried to help him, but it was too late. The ocean took him. The ocean drowned him." Oh, as you can imagine, all of humanity turned to the ocean. "What did you do? Why did you do this?" And the ocean was confused. She had done nothing except wash Sorrel's body back to shore. She tried to tell people what had happened, but because she alone knew what Jinty had done, nobody would listen to her. No one would believe her. And after weeks of investigation and argument, no one would trust her. And so she turned inward. Her crushing waves became barriers to the big blue. Her deepest depths became impenetrable, and the distance between her shores stretched so far they might as well be infinite. Jinty, in the meantime, told and retold the story about how Sorrel begged and struggled to be saved, but the ocean had no mercy and took him anyway. He had no chance. He said, "None at all." And then he would let out a little wail and even a tear. He told the story so often he almost believed it himself. He told that story so often everyone else began to tell it too. The years passed and the story spread. In all those years, no one went near the ocean. Stories about how wicked and unpredictable and dangerous she was became a part of every bedtime story. Through all this, the ocean listened and watched and kept to herself. Jinty, as you can expect, moved as far away from the raging sea as he could, but no matter how far he travelled, he could still feel her fury. "You won't get me," he muttered as he sat with feet warm by the fire, telling himself the story about how a great wave had risen out of nowhere and drowned Sorrel right before his eyes. Some would say that could have been the end of it. Jinty would die of old age, and how Sorrel really met his end would never be known, and humanity would always fear the wild, deep waters. But the ocean had other ideas. The ocean had not forgotten. The ocean still had Sorrel, and above all, the ocean had time. She took Sorrel's bones and did what she did with everything. She created. It took a decade, slow and steady, but one day, after a particularly vicious storm, crashing waves and tides higher than there had ever been, the ocean receded to reveal a statue twice as tall and twice as wide as the one that Jinty had built. Covered with coral, hard as steel, stood Sorrel, a single finger pointing north to the mountains, to where Jinty lived. and people began to talk. Then they started to ask questions, and a new story was told. "What really happened?" they asked. "Sorrel was a strong swimmer. The ocean was calm that day. Giant waves don't just come out of nowhere, Jinty." They all said, "What really happened to Sorrel?" The questions were unrelenting and unforgiving, like Sorrel had risen from the dead and was whispering the truth in the wind. Jinty locked the door to his cottage and he hid. When people got too close, he went so far as to hold his breath so they couldn't hear him. He ignored the knocks on his door and the questions through his window. He stopped foraging for food or collecting water. And eventually, because no one can hold their breath that long, Jinty died. A neighbor found him. And along with his body, they found his confession, written out 1,000 times on the floor, the ceiling, and etched in his own skin. And everyone knew what he had done. Stripping Jinty of everything, the people of the world put his body into the ocean, saying, "He is yours. Do with him as you will." The ocean stopped the storms that day. She softened the waves so people could once more step into the shallow waters. But every person who took that step did so with care and respect. The ocean had the measure of mankind, and mankind knew it. "Tell the world lies about me again," the ocean whispered, "and you will know my wrath." The truth will out. I think that might be the inspiration behind the story. Listening to so many lies and so much deceit, I need to clean up my social media stream. I think that's my lesson for the week. Oh my gosh. I need to watch more cute kittens and, you know, polar bears playing in the snow. I don't know. My goodness. Hey, wow. This is a beautiful world. And society as a whole is absolutely going in an upward trajectory. And the people who are lying and deceiving are slowly, bit by bit, being called out. As we all open our eyes and see what's really going on and band together and say no and enough and this stops now. And the people have the power.
The people have the power.
Anyway, I'm off for a cup of something, then editing, because that's the project for the day. And have a good one. Go and hug all the people you love. And clear your vision and see the truth. And if something just seems wrong to you, know that it seems wrong to a whole lot of other people. Hey, if you feel like any other weird, wild, and wonderful, fable-y kind of things, drop around to tinaconstant.com. That's Constant with a K. I really look forward to seeing you there. All right, big, beautiful, happy day to you. See you next week. Bye-bye now.